Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Well, today's guest is a blast from my past, and he's coached at some amazing colleges and coached some amazing players. Who's the coach? Stick around to find out. Team Snap is the presenting sponsor of the Winning Is Not Everything podcast. The spring sports season is just around the corner. Are you ready? Whether you're a coach running your team with the Team Snap app, an admin using Team Snap for business to manage your club or league, or a marketer looking to make noise in the youth sports space, Team Snap has got you covered. Visit teamsnap.com or download the Team Snap app from your app store for more information. The year is 1999, and I had just taken a new job as the Minnesota Vikings beat writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. My first official day on the job, covering the Vikings in the season opener in Atlanta. The Vikings were coming off one of the most incredible seasons ever, going 15-1, powered by an explosive offense, and losing in the NFC title game 30-27 to the Falcons. Ray Sherman was the Vikings offensive coordinator in 1999, so I interviewed him often. What I remember is a gracious man, full of humility, a deep insight into the game, and a deeper connection with his players. By 2000, he moved on to the Green Bay Packers, so we still saw each other at league events, and we remained friendly for years to come. No matter how you look at it, Coach Sherman's experience is remarkable. In future episodes, he'll share about his coaching adventures, stories of some of the elite players and coaches he's worked with, and the insights he's picked up along his career. But you know what we tried to do in part one, so let's jump into Coach Sherman's early years. Let's get to it now. Well, hey everyone, I am so honored to have as a guest Coach Ray Sherman. Coach and I go back a long way. He knew me when I was a young man, and I'm just so excited to have him on as a guest. Coach, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome, Sean. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Coach, we're going to get into your remarkable career where you coached at some of the top programs and NFL teams and coached some of the top players that have ever played in the NFL. But before that, I really want to spend some time, as I do with all my guests, talking about your sort of sports story. So I know you grew up in California, but tell me what your childhood was like back in the day.
Well, you know, I grew up in Oakland, California, and back in the day when the Oakland Raiders were there, and we had a lot of guys that played for the Raiders and some guys who grew up in the Bay Area, and they would always go over to the old Frankie Old Field. And as a youngster, I would go over there and watch the guys practice. And as I got older and got into high school, I would go over there and I would, you know, run routes against some of those guys. It was really enjoyable because those guys were very kind and friendly, and that was very exciting for me. And plus, you know, when I go get my hair cut, you run into guys like Bill Russell, or you run into guys like Casey Jones or Beta Penson, who played baseball for the Cincinnati Reds. Willie Mays would come by there, you know, and then you see entertainers.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I kid you not. You see entertainers. James Brown would come by because he had family. Richard Pryor was coming around the Bay Area at the time. And it was really exciting because you've seen all these stars, these entertainers. Mm-hmm. And it was really amazing just being around people like that and also watching them, you know, interact with all the young guys and being positive and talking to you about different things. And so I enjoyed that aspect of it. And what it did, it encouraged you to be your best, not only in school, but also train and work hard as an athlete. And I'll never forget those days.
Now, tell me about your family growing up. Like, how many siblings did you have and what were your parents? Yeah.
I had two older brothers and a younger sister. I was the third child. My mom and dad were there. My mom, I guess I had more of her temperament, her personality. My father was a retired sergeant from the Army, and he stayed on our butts. You know, he stayed on myself and my two brothers. He was a little more lenient on my sister, but he would stay on us because he knew that, you know, he had to. But my dad, he worked construction. He was working and building. He was always building something, always getting us up early in the morning to help him out and do stuff. And that's why when you're in high school, you don't want to stay out late because he's getting your butt up around 6 o'clock in the morning. So you did everything possible to get your rest because trust me, there was times when I didn't want to get up and boy, he said, get up. We got stuff to do. And then with my mom, she was a nurse. And then she became an administrator in the hospital.
When you were younger, which coach was the most influential to you?
I'll tell you what, the guy that really impacted me was a guy named Proverb Jacobs. Jake had played with the Raiders. He played, I think he was played line, I think offensive defensive line for the Oakland Raiders at the time. And he would always sit down. We would talk for hours. I mean, he was a special, special guy. He really spent a lot of time with me and just talked about life and talked about just different situations. He talked about what he went through and how he overcame certain things. But I would say as a youngster, Proverb Jacobs was a guy that I really appreciated a lot. You know, I would sit down and talk with him about, you could talk to him about anything. And he really made you feel comfortable. He really made you just relax. He had you think. He would say things to you to make you think, you know, where you wouldn't make hasty decisions or, you know, do something that, you know, could change everything. But he was always giving you good advice about things.
Coach, what's something you kind of wrestled or struggled with in middle school or high school? What was kind of that thing that was a challenge for you to deal with as a young man?
Ooh, let me think. In high school, I was strong in history. I was strong in English. I was strong in sciences. I struggled a little bit early in math, but I was able to overcome it because my mom, she was great at math, and I had my brother Earl was excellent in math. And so I would spend time with them to help me through things, you know, to understand it because they had taken geometry, they had taken 1, 2, 3 and took calculus. And so those, they helped me where I struggled in that. They were able to help me understand because they took the time with me to learn it and understand it.
Hey, Coach, let's go back to coaching. I mean, you coached at some big schools, right? Berkeley, Michigan State, you know, Wake Forest, Georgia. And then you went to the NFL. You were doing so well as a college coach. What was it to you about the NFL that was more appealing?
Well, I'm going to give you the story. I'll never forget when I went to Georgia, a good friend of mine at the time, Red Gall, we would always run into each other on the coaching trail. He was at South Carolina. I was at Wake Forest and Purdue. And then when I went to Purdue, he was at Georgia at the time. And we would always run into each other on the same players. And we would battle each other. And so we became friends. We went out to lunch one day when we had time. And he said, you know what, Ray? He says, I got to get you to Georgia because you could help us. And I said, that would be nice. I respect Vince Dooley. I think he does a great job there in Georgia. So I was at Purdue at the time. And then after the season was over, Coach Dooley called me. Ray called me and said that they wanted to bring me in to interview for the job, the receiver job in Georgia. And normally in college, you never had to say anything to the head coach that a school is calling you. But what I would do, because Leon Burnett at the time was the head coach at Purdue, he and I were close friends. We had great respect for each other. I told him, I said, Coach, University of Georgia is going to call you because they want me to come there to interview for the job. So I flew down, met with them, and they offered me the job that day. And I took the job. So when I get back, I talked to Leon and I told him, you know, the process and what happened. He said, I knew you were gone. He said, I knew I wasn't getting you back. But he and I stayed friends forever until he passed a few years ago. But we were good friends. And then when I went to Georgia, I saw the command that Coach Dooley, the respect that they had for him. You talking about you being a team meeting. And when he walked in the room, it was complete silence because everybody, you know, had that kind of respect for him. And I really appreciate it. And then what happened is not only to help their receiver group, I was going all over the country to recruit. I mean, I'm being at Georgia. I was going to Texas. I was going to California. I was in Georgia. I was in Louisiana. I mean, I was Mississippi. I was everywhere. I went everywhere where the top players were. And the first player that I got out of Georgia was Mo Lolas. He's my first recruit, and he was the first guy that when I got on him, and then all of a sudden, here comes UCLA, here comes Clemson, here comes all these other people trying to recruit him. But I had a relationship with the head coach, you know, William Lester, and William and I became friends even when I was at Wake Forest recruiting school. And what I would do as a recruiter, I would go to schools, even if they didn't have players, just to build a relationship, get the chance to know the coaches. So whenever they had a player, I would come in. They would say, well, Ray, yeah. You always came here. Yes, you know, they would
give me
carte blanche, you know, I was in. And the other thing is, the reason why Mo Lewis was special, Richard Dent had played high school ball there, and this coach had coached Richard Dent. And Coach Richard Dent, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. And I'll never forget, William said, he said, Ray, he said, Mo Lewis is so good. He said, he can be as good as Richard Dent. And I stayed on him, and I ended up getting him in Georgia. And then the other guy I ended up getting was Rodney Hampton out of Texas. Rodney Hampton was at Cashmere High School in Houston, Texas. And he reminded me of a lot of running backs that played in the NFL. And Rodney was a guy that I got to Georgia. And Rodney ended up playing for us in Georgia as a freshman. But we had Tim Worley. We had Keith Henderson. We had Lawrence Tate. We had some great players there. And Rodney didn't start, but he played a lot. And I don't know, I can't remember who got injured, but Rodney, we played Ole Miss. And Rodney had 224 all-purpose yards as a receiver, as a runner, and a kickoff returner. And I'll never forget, the media came in to talk to Vince Dooley after the game, and I was a few feet from Vince. And Vince said, you don't need to talk to me. You need to go talk to Coach Sherman. He's the one that brought him here. You know, that was really fun for me that Coach felt that way. But I was able to get some great players there. And what happened, how I ended up going to the NFL, and Vince and I met. In fact, we were on a recruiting trip. And he asked me my goals and what I wanted to do. And I said, Vince, I said, I would like to stay in coaching. I'll stay here as long as I can. But my goal is to go into the NFL and maybe one day become a head coach. That's my goal. He said, well, I sure hope you don't leave here because I want you to stay here as long as you want. And there was other colleges that called, Ohio State, Arizona State, he called. And I told Vince that I would never go to another school. I said, I'm locked in here to Georgia unless I have a chance to go to the NFL. And then in 2 years, Jerry Glanville was the head coach of the Houston Oilers. And he called and asked for me to come for an interview along with Mill Jackson, who was coaching there. And I went down to Houston and I spent time with about 2-3 hours with Jerry. And we talked philosophy. He talked about what, you know, he wanted me to do. Because I went there and initially as a running back coach. And then I was there. Then I ended up being a receiver coach the next year. But I went as the running back coach. And Jerry told me, he says, I have a guy named Mike Rozier. Well, everybody knew Mike Rozier. He was a Heisman Trophy winner at Nebraska. And he says, I got to get Mike back to the level that we need him to be in order for us to be successful. And so he says, I know you have a great reputation of coaching guys and getting guys that play at a high level. I know you're a great recruiter. I know all those things about you. But I know that I just need you to get him at a high level. And I went in, and the first thing I did a week later, he called me and I took the job. I went in, I called all the backs and I called Mike and I asked Mike, he said, welcome, coach. I said, thanks, Mike. I said, I need to get with you and talk with you, you know, just about some things. And so we did, and we set up a time. We went to dinner and we spent time, and he talked to me about how he was as a player and what he was looking for in a coach. I told him what I was as a coach and what I expect out of him as a player. And we hit it off, and he was great. He ended up going to the Pro Bowl that year. He was amazing. And for me as a coach, I took a lot of pride in getting to know them as people, getting to know them about their families, you know, if you're married, your kids, your grandparents, you know, the people that you're close to. And I got to know them as people, and I let them know how I was going to be as a coach. And then I never had any problems with guys because they knew how I was as a coach. I was hard on them in practice, making sure that, you know, they would play hard, practice hard. And then in games, I hardly ever said anything. You know, I would make adjustments if I have to. But other than that, they know what was expected of them. And one thing I learned from Vince Dooley, when you played the Alabamas, when you played the Floridas, when you played the LSUs, he was more calm against those teams because he knew guys were going to be ready to play. But when you played Vanderbilts and you played Mississippi State, you played people like that, that's when he got on your butt because he knew If you relax, they can beat you.
And that's what.
And that was one of the things I learned from being around him, how he was against a tougher opponent. He was more relaxed and calm, but the opponents that you're supposed to be, he was fiery. He was aggressive. And those things I learned in the coaching aspect. But I learned from my personality, you got to develop your own personality. And I think sometimes you see people try to be somebody. Like when, you know, I watch Belichick. Everybody wants to try to be Bill Belichick. They left his staff and, you know, they went to places and there's only one Bill Belichick, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I see some guys always trying to be something, and players can see through that. They see the phoniness. Mm-hmm. If you try to be somebody that you're not, and that's what I told myself, I'm not going to try to pretend to be somebody that I'm not. This is the way I am. I'm fair. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to tell you like it is. And that's the way I was. And I think the players appreciated that for me because they knew how I was going to be. And then once you get to know them and once you're around them and you talk to them, if you jump their butt, they're okay with it because they know that you know them and they're okay with it. They can take it because they know that you're on them because you want them to be better. You want them to play better. You want them to play at a high level because of how you treat them. And that's why they don't get upset when you get on them a little bit. And some guys, if you're not like that, Sean, and if you always jump on them and cussing them, I don't cuss players. I don't believe in that. But if you jump on them all the time, some guys can handle that. And some guys don't care. They don't like all that cursing and hollering and yelling and screaming at them. Mm-hmm. And you might get away with it in college, but in pro ball, no, you're not going to yell at guys because they can tell you where to go, you know? Yeah. But sometimes when you know them, they respect you, they understand, they're not going to say anything.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Winning is Not Everything. Please make sure to like the podcast and subscribe to the podcast so you can immediately get the latest episode. If you have any questions or comments, please visit my website, seankjensen.com, and go to the contact page. You can even leave me a voice recording. And of course, I want to thank my presenting sponsor, TeamSnap. Whether you're a coach, administrator, or brand looking to reach the youth sports community, TeamSnap connects the world of youth sports. Visit TeamSnap.com or download the TeamSnap app from your app store. Until next time, I'm Sean Jensen.